Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Marto and Margo every morning. They've got $10,000 to give away. Make sure you're listening. First responder, 10 grand, 7:25 daily. Big show today. Lots of fun, lots of callers.
Massive show. Lots of great callers today. I reckon caller of the week, if we were to do that, would have come out of today's show.
Yeah, good point.
Self-diagnosis.
Or the Wingy Wednesday.
Yeah, brushes of lame. How'd you hide your food as a kid? The dinner table that you didn't want to eat?
Oh, they were good too.
Great calls. We had some really great calls today.
It was a good show. You were good. I was good. Jamie, you were
everyone
okay.
Was cut on the back.
Christ, I'd listen if I was you. I might go home and have a listen. Just well, say, shit, we're good.
Well, it's weird, but this is the actual show, so let's just put the headphones on.
Do you put the
on,
whole show in?
Yeah, the whole show is there. Okay, well, let's listen to it. Minus the ads.
Clearly, you're like me. You've never listened to it.
I just always thought it was little snippets, the best bits of the show.
Well, let's find out. Let's play it now.
Have a listen and let us know.
Can I check? Yeah. The ads aren't in there, are they?
I think there might be a sneaky ad or two,
okay,
but that's it. And it's the listener app, so that's for free. So it's a bit of a bonus, and you can listen to us anywhere.
Are the songs in there?
No songs. And can't legally do that.
They can listen to the show, and then they can text us on the burner phone, and then we can read it tomorrow and talk about that on tomorrow's show. Circle of life.
Anyway. Is it?
Get back to us. How does this sound? Triple M.
Let's just do it, okay?
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
They reckon there's more than 100,000 people in Australia who rely heavily on medicinal cannabis for everything from chronic pain, anxiety, epilepsy, palliative care, etc. And demand for medical cannabis has seen record TGA approvals. That's a fact, apparently.
Yes, so, it is.
But recently, the Australian Natural Therapeutics Group has released its first oil, making it the most affordable medical cannabis oil on the market. We've got their chief executive, Matt Cantelow, on the phone now. Hi, Matt.
Hey, how are you?
Good, mate. I was just wondering, so what's the story? Have we been, previously, it's all been coming from overseas and you guys have stepped in and said, no, we'll make it cheaper.
Absolutely, yeah. Look, it's been a long road to get to this point, 5 years in the making, actually, and that's been sort of the time it's taken to build the facilities, get the licensing and train all our staff. But we're now finally there with Australian grown, Australian produced, Australian manufactured, both flowers and oils on the market here for Australian patients.
Where are you growing it? Are we allowed to know? And what's it look like? Is the security extremely tight?
Absolutely. Yeah, look, we're in regional Australia. We've got a greenhouse farm on the outskirts of Armidale, but it's obviously I can't give away any other details on location. But, you know, we're in GACP GMP greenhouse, which means it's sort of the highest growing and manufacturing standards in the world, pharmaceutical standards.
Well, it's not cheap, Matt, and I know a few friends and family members myself who use it for a number of reasons. Talk me through, your selling point of we're making it cheaper than ever for people who need it.
Yeah, look, it's not cheap, and we've got to recognise too that the industry is still in its infancy, even though we are sort of 4 years in, but it's taken this long to really, as I said, build the facilities, get the licensing. All that costs a lot of money.
Well, how is it effective? What does it do to the body to, you know, be warranted as medicinal?
We all have an endocannabinoid system within our bodies, and that actually relates to the cannabinoids that are in the plant. It sort of reacts with our C1, C2 receptors. It's a bit like your dopamine receptors, only it's a C1 or C2 receptor. And it creates a thing called homeostasis or balance in the body. It's widely known and published in many medical journals. It's a fact. We actually share a common trait with the plant.
Excuse my ignorance. You know the recreational stuff that the hippies have always grown and the difference between that and this, and can you drive when you take the medicinal stuff?
No, look, the laws on driving are still a little archaic, to be honest. You only have to have nanoparticles of THC in your system to be deemed illegal driving. So the driving laws have to catch up because there are studies out there. There's been a recent study by the University of New South Wales that show impairment is very low on cannabinoids versus alcohol, for example.
But medicinal, you can still get pulled over by the cops. So are you agitating to change that?
Oh, look, there's a big agitation to change that, not just from me, but there's a big movement called Drive Change led by a bunch of people, including politicians, to try to get these laws changed.
Matt, can I ask, the process from the beginning of grow to when you get the oil, what does that look like? How long is that?
Depending on the strain, but, you know, the grow actually takes flowering stages around about 62 days, and you've got about 2 or 3 weeks of vegetative state prior to that. And then once you've dried it, which takes 5 to 8 days, and then you've trimmed it, then you've gone and manufactured it into an oil, you're looking at a fairly lengthy process from start to finish.
You said different strains there. It's not like the coronavirus, is it? Does it have alpha, delta, beta? What do you mean by different strains?
They're different chemotypes. So the plants, there's one, you know, cannabis is not all the same. There's multitudes or thousands and thousands of different strains which have different chemical compounds within them. So the CBD and THC ratios will vary. The terpenes, which is what gives it that beautiful smell, they change dramatically from plant to plant. And there's a whole bunch of other chemicals in there like flavonoids and esters. And I could go on forever. I'm not a scientist myself, but certainly there's the profile of each plant is very different.
Matt, what a great eye-opening chat. I hope things go well. You're obviously at the basement level of the industry. It's going to go crazy. From Australian National Therapeutics Group, the CEO, Matt Kentelow. Thanks, mate.
Thank you very much for having me. Appreciate it.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Hey, don't forget you can catch the ICC T20 Cricket World Cup action live and exclusive to Fox Cricket, available on KO. New to KO, start your free trial today.
How good's rugby league? You think when there's no rugby league to talk about, how do you talk about rugby league? How does it make it onto the back page of the paper, 3 pages inside? It's still there.
Well, there's a 17th team coming.
Thank you.
Marto.
That's how you do it. That's why it's brilliant. So it'll play itself out. Well, they haven't even announced a 17th team, but it's all going.
It's going to be the Dolphins.
Apparently. You don't need to whisper anymore. Everyone's been yelling
it on the TV.
God,
unofficially,
boy.
Officially, it's the Dolphins. Redcliffe. Woo.
So until Wayne, you know, signs, which is definitely
unofficially,
happen as
officially,
well,
Wayne is going to be the coach,
and that'll be the next big thing. Now they're going, who's going to play for the Dolphins? And that's the big thing. Going,
well, yesterday they had a team, full team in the paper.
All
I was
right.
like, Jesus,
thank you. And it started with Kalyn Ponga at fullback. It had the Hammer from Fidel from North Queensland. It had him now.
Matt Lodge.
All right. So all those people now who were named in those teams going, these people might go to Redcliffe.
Anthony Milford.
All their yes, exactly. All their managers now going, no, hold on. And Cowboys immediately went about, they signed the Hammer to another couple of years.
Oh.
They've gone, well, you're not having him, Redcliffe, give me back. Kalyn Ponga has now been asked for his feelings on moving there, and he would be available. And that's why they printed that team out going, these people would be available in 2023. So now Newcastle are going, no, get your hands off, we'll re-sign him. So it's beefed up. It's amped up the player market a little bit.
Did the Broncos do that for Anthony Milford? Oh, no, that's right.
Doesn't appear so.
He's not playing there next year.
They keep saying Milford. He's included in it. But listen,
isn't he going to South Sydney?
Yeah, one season only.
Okay.
So therefore he'll be free
for 2023.
He and Wayne are palling around and come on back to Redcliffe. I'm a young fella. Like he's maybe 30 by the way. Anyway, let's forget Milford because the big story. NRL stars laughing all the way to the bank as expansion player signing frenzy set to explode. That's the headline.
Well, they've got a full salary cap available to start signing with, don't they, Redcliffe?
Tell me who that person is.
Oh, no. Brandon Smith.
That's
the hectic
right.
cheese.
The hectic cheese. Now, listen, this is gonna happen. This is no doubt. Smith. Here we go. Smith has an extension offer on the table from the Storm, but his agent, Stan Martin, confirmed he would head to market on November 1.
Oh, no.
I'm not doing anything until at least November, then we'll see what the market says. That's his manager, okay? Brandon's not doing anything with anybody. He's just keeping his head down, which is what he should be doing. Listen to this. This is from Brandon Smith. My parents just moved to Brisbane.
Oh.
So it's an option. Bang. Close. Put away the binoculars. That's the end. He is going to be the first Captain Redcliffe because what says Redcliffe more than anything else is a slightly overweight coke snorting hooker. That says Redcliffe to me. That's captaincy material right there.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Margo, it was late in the show, about 8:30, maybe 8:40 on Monday, I think, when we had a bit of a traffic announcement, which we do traffic, and it's been pretty wicked the last few days.
Yeah, you're our eyes and ears, 13353, or text us on the burner phone, 0484101045.
Well, this was on the burner phone from Chris from down Wynnum Way, and we treated it seriously, and then we started reading. Here it is again. Hey, Marto, just spotted Wayne Bennett walking along Wynnum Creek foreshore an hour ago. No traffic, not causing any traffic worries. And we went, oh, Jesus, he got us.
Everybody didn't pull over to get a selfie with Wayne?
Apparently it was fair dinkum. Wayne, for some reason, he must be holidaying down there with Dale. I don't know.
Well, he would have been up here for the NRL season. Of course, the Bunnies played the grand final at
Suncorp. And they've broken camp down the Gold Coast. They're all, you either go home or you're on your own terms.
They're all
terms
up in
now.
North Queensland,
That's
I saw.
Exactly right. Now, can we just go, if you saw Wayne Bennett, like I know we've done, famous people in your workplace, we've done brushes with fame, but this is brushes with...
Lame.
Like, it's fair dinkum. Wayne Bennett on the Wynnum foreshore, is that lame?
He's the greatest coach of all time. He's the master coach, genius stroke.
Can I have brushes with famous people? I went to Hamilton Island for two nights during our little week break and hopped in a lift, and who's there?
Dylan Napa was up on Hamilton Island. My girlfriend was on the same plane as him when she flew up there last week.
Lame.
I walked into a lift, Daniel Rich and his two children.
Lame.
Exactly.
I got a selfie with Bernard Tomic. Is that?
Lame.
That is completely lame. Yeah, Ben Robert Smith, the former soldier who's in a bit, he got his own problems at the moment. I saw him.
You
up
went
there
to the gym with him.
No, I didn't. He was going to the gym and so was I. And then I saw he was going to the gym and he said, "Where are you going?" I said, "Not to the gym while you're in there, mate."
Lame.
All right. So have you got any? Oh, you've got all heaps of them.
We were in Vegas back in 2006.
Hello. Yes, thank you.
When the dollar was like 20 cents. At David Spade. Do you remember him? Was it Joe Dirt?
Oh,
yeah. He was the only celebrity we saw in 5 weeks being in America. I was so disappointed.
I love celebrity spotting. Well, not as much as my wife does. She loves
Brad Pitt.
She used to love airports because you see people.
You know who I saw?
Yeah, here we go.
In here yesterday doing a podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Christopher Pine.
Lame.
You know he was doing the podcast with?
Yeah,
Jackie Trad.
Lame.
That's what we're after, ladies and gentlemen. 133353. You saw someone famous and you went, oh, it's pretty lame, actually. Andrew from Lowood, I think you've got the idea. Who have you run into lately?
Danny Moore, mate.
Who?
Yeah, I knew Margo would say that. Redcliffe boy, who then went on to play for Manly Warringah and Queensland Origin, correct, Andrew?
And Australia.
Who?
Yeah.
The only Moore I know is Billy Moore, Queenslander.
Andrew. Did you actually speak to him?
Yeah, I'm a removalist. I moved him from Winton to Toowoomba.
Oh, so he's in Toowoomba now?
Oh, Greenmount.
Down the coast.
No, Greenmount, just between Toowoomba and Warwick.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, well, he won't hear this then if we just do this again.
Lame.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks for none.
Ryan from Beenleigh, who was it?
Last person on the airplane sitting next to us was Stephen Bradbury.
Lame.
I mean, we love Stephen and his last man standing beer.
No, but really, all he did was not fall over and he became a whole career, carved a whole career out of not falling over.
Lame. Mm,
exactly. Thanks, Ryan.
On you, mate.
Naomi from Burpengary. Mm. Brushes with lame, who was it?
It was you, Margo, and Corey.
Lame. Naomi, don't ever ring this radio station.
Where was it, Naomi?
I was just sat in the lazy river at Wet n Wild, and I happened to look up, and you and Corey are stood on the bridge looking down.
We've lost a child, Naomi. Don't tell anyone.
Naomi, was she drinking cocktails at Wet n Wild, I was told?
Did you see the margarita bar, Naomi, that they've got there near the wave pool?
Okay, right. Okay. Oh, sorry.
I did lose a child at Wet n Wild. That's why I was looking for it.
Can we go back to Naomi just for a second? Naomi, where did you say you were? Were you lying in the pool?
In the Calypso Beach, the one that just goes round and round on the rings?
Yeah, right.
You just lay there. It's lazy.
And what happened? Who pointed them out? Or did you recognise her?
I recognised him, yeah. Mm.
We lost one of our children in the Calypso Beach. They decided to go off ahead of us, and then we did a couple of laps trying to find him, and we couldn't find him. So then we stood up on the bridge hoping that maybe he might go past us.
Another cocktail.
Still didn't find it. A lifeguard brought him over to us and said, I think this belongs to you.
Naomi? Yeah. It's lame, mate. Naomi, don't go on anymore.
The story's lame too. I'm sorry, Naomi.
Look at Will from Wynnum.
Nice to see you.
Look at Will from Wynnum on the burner phone, thanks to the text. Oh. Comedian Jamoan sat on the table behind me at a cafe in Newstead.
Lame.
He got an eggs Benny.
Got too much information.
Patrick from Aspley, good morning.
Morning, how are you?
Yeah.
Who have you
We're
come across?
We're talking brushes, not with fame, but with lame.
Yeah, I was at the Bricky Creek on Monday for lunch, and there was the Raging Bull, Gordon Kelly.
Gordy?
You'll find
at the Bricky Creek. You'll find him there most Thursdays and Wednesdays, I think.
He'll either be there or in the TAB regatta. He's going to hate us for that. Patrick, can I just ask, did you just point at him and say, Gordy? Did you yell out at him?
No, I thought I'd better leave him have his lunch by him. He's with a couple of burly men, so I thought, no, that's...
Chris Johns, if I know my Brisbane correctly. Thanks, mate.
This is Triple M, the Big Breakfast.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margot.
Messaging on the way out of this pandemic, roadmap, whatever they want to call it, has all been about, let's get vaccinated, get vaccinated,
roll
get
up
vaccinated.
Your sleeve.
Yep, well, now the Big Green Church is getting involved. That's right, to the rescue. Thank you. Lowest prices are just the beginning because there's now going to be a lot more, as Palaszczuk told us.
Vaccine clinics are coming to Bunnings.
Yeah.
So families can get their Bunnings sausage and a dose of vaccine.
That's not funny.
Do you like a side of sauce with that or AstraZeneca? Do you want your onions on top or your Pfizer in your arm?
How are we going to pull this off? So you go into Bunnings, which I do three times a week, and you normally go, what aisle is it in? I don't know. Where's the vaccine? Because I saw a dog in a trolley the other day and asked this girl, where do you buy them? Crikey, how much? Why do people put their dogs inside a trolley at Bunnings? That's a different question because what we're talking about here is getting yourself vaccinated. Do you know
is
what...
Is there going to be another little marquee on the other side of the entrance when you walk in? Nice. One side for sausages, one side for vaccines?
Why would you do that? Because you've already got volunteers there and somebody's taught them how to make the sausage, cook the sausages up.
Surely not. The Lions volunteers aren't going Banyo, to be administering vaccines,
the Banyo Croquet Club, just they're offering vaccines today. Now, listen.
Who will be giving the vaccines? Are they going to have medical professionals there at Bunnings or will it be?
I think the guy in aisle 22, he normally just does the screws and nails, but this week he is, what is the symbol of Bunnings? Do you know? It's a big hammer. So don't just softly push them in. Just, how are they going to administer? Just get a hammer.
Maybe a nail gun.
Nail gun. Corking
gun.
Like
they do with ear piercing. Just shoot tranquilizer darts at you full of AstraZeneca.
Now, what I do want to say is let's get fair dinkum about this. Like, it's a serious thing. And they're offering it, I think, at 20 different Bunnings, which is great. You think about it. Remember last year or the year before, it was too dangerous to put onions on top of the sausages where people were handed. Yes. But now all of a sudden we're figuring that they have the capability to administer the vaccine to cure the world's greatest pandemic. Is that where we're at now? We've given up on hospitals. Just head down to Bunnings.
You head into a Bunnings in here. Shoot them all!
Oh, Jesus.
I love the morning.
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Triple M.
Marto, I need your help to determine something. I have two stories here in my hand, and I can put them behind my back and say pick left or right, or we can just do both, and then you tell me which one you think is more appropriate for this.
Dumb. Oh, I want to hear both then. That's what it is. Dumb criminals.
Okay, the first one, ex-soldier stormed pet shelter. They called him the cat burglar. He was dressed in tactical gear and brandishing a fake assault rifle, stormed into a Melbourne animal shelter and tied up a worker in a bid to get his feline friend back.
The pound.
The pound had taken his cat.
So he got his camo gear on and his fake machine gun
and he went in to save his feline friend.
Is he 7?
No, he's 45.
Does he just get home from kindy?
Marto. His cat was taken to the shelter. He then tied up the female worker with cable ties shaped as handcuffs.
Oh, no.
And then as he fled the scene, he A, didn't take his cat with him, and B, told her to count to 100 until she called police.
He'd seen that in a movie one night.
Don't move. And if you do, count to 100, before you call the police.
Free yourself.
Why didn't he take his cat? Because he couldn't find the keys to unlock the cage where the cat was. And so he broke in, he entered, he's been charged, but he left without his cat.
Oh, there can't be anything better than, there can't be anyone more stupid than that person.
Stupid. What about this one? Man fled pub in Uber after stealing $55,000 on an inside job. This is just a local one, Southeast Queensland, here at the Queen's Arms, down in the valley.
At the Queen's Arms?
Queen's Arms, down at Newfarm there.
Now, did he not, he fled in an Uber, he had no mates to drive the getaway car.
No getaway car. He got an Uber to fled the scene. But the thing that I love about this is he didn't steal the money for himself, Marto. This is like a Robin Hood of sorts. Steal from the rich and give to the poor because he stole the money to help pay a mate's drug debt.
Dumb criminology.
turn it up. No, he didn't.
I mean, are you even really a mate if you haven't stolen $55,000 for your friend to pay their
drug
debt?
We've already discussed. He doesn't have any friends. He caught an Uber. That was his drug debt, and he was still on them.
So what's worse, stealing money for a debt that you don't need or breaking and entering into a veterinary clinic to steal your cat back but not stealing not actually taking the cat with you?
I would say the gold goes to taking a woman hostage at a pound and not even getting your cat back.
But make sure you count to 100.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
What sounds like Wednesday? Is it that time for the Wednesday
Wednesday.
Well, I'll do it again.
Wednesday, Wednesday.
You know what this is?
Is it a pirate?
It's not. It's not changing the world. It's not about climate change, as we were saying last week. It's just about small rants,
like when people leave their trolleys in the car park and don't put them in the trolley bay.
That's good.
Is that one, Marto?
Yep.
Okay.
Like how bright the lights are at the 7-Eleven. I stopped there this morning and just cruising into the morning. Then all of a sudden, I had to go. Oh, what is that? Why do they need to do that to people?
Yeah. Or
whinge, whinge, whinge.
Thank you.
Or when the 7-Eleven slushy machine has run out.
Oh,
whinge, whinge, whinge.
That'll happen soon on a hot day. All the bloody school kids get in there straight after school and get the good slushy water.
Whinge, whinge, whinge.
Do you know what really gets me? Communication on the road is very important, right? But you can't talk because you can't talk to people in cars. So use your horn or your indicator. People who don't indicate on the roads properly.
Whinge, whinge, whinge.
Have you got a particular?
Roundabouts, merging, any changing lanes, whatever.
All right, I'll give you one. Going up, because I use the Bunnings at Newstead, it's a dual level. There's two levels on it.
Fancy.
And there's a travelator going up there, and some people get on it and just park themselves there. It's a really slow travelator, and they'll go too wide, and COVID times can't get past them.
Move across.
Get out of the way, you clowns. Mm. Jesus, what else have I got? No, that's about
it. That's enough. Let's leave some room for everybody else, hey?
Here's some from last week. They were beauties.
I'm a tradie. I really hate people who stand over your shoulder while you're trying to do your job. Mm. And just after you start, they'll go, what about this? What about that?
Oh, no.
When you pull into a garage to go and get fuel and the car in front of you is just pulled up and all they do is get out, walk out to go and get a cup of coffee.
When you go to the post office to send the unfortunate parcel letter and there's about four or five people in front of you, they're to do their banking and pay the bill.
Whinge, whinge, whinge.
Not overly angry. They're just little things, claws that get in your life.
Can I have one more little
bloody
whinge?
Bloody oath you can.
Can I have a whinge at petrol station and the disparity in fuel prices? Because I paid $2.06 yesterday for
whinge,
fuel.
Whinge, whinge, whinge.
Now,
I drove 100 metres up the road and it was $1.50.
Some of the callers, I'll have to say, the same thing I'm going to say to you is, open your eyes up, you clown. All right?
Because I didn't even look. I just pulled in. I just put the pump in and then I turned around and went, what? $100 for 50 litres?
Give everyone else a go. 133353. Just little petty rants. I'm Michael from Boondall. You know the concept.
Yeah, mate. I've roadside at the moment, but he curbside pickup. I've had enough of the people driving up and down the street, picking up stuff, putting it everywhere. They're coming from, I'm a north sider, they're coming from the south side with their bogan shit. And
now listen,
Michael.
And then,
hang on, Michael, you live in Boondall.
And then to top it off, my wife's breaking up with me and then I get home. Yeah. And then she's putting shit out on the street, which is we could sell. Yeah. And then I'm like, oh, that's my friggin' workbench you put out there, mate. You put on the truck.
Incredible. Michael.
I'm going off.
How did you know they were from the south side? What's their distinguishing features? What's happening?
You know, the Commodore with the seat all the way back. Tattoo on the arm.
I love that Michael's claimed he's from the north side, like he's living at Ascot or Hamilton. But he lives in Boondall. Come on, you can't bag Logan when you live at the entertainment center.
That is one of the great rants, Michael.
Swamp.
Thank you, mate.
We've got a couple on the burner phone, Marto. Oscar from Clontarf said, walking down the street, copping a face full of steam from someone who's vaping.
Oh. Whinge, whinge, whinge.
People are doing it inside.
They do it wherever they want, don't they? They think that they can because it's not a cigarette. No, it's still smoke that I'm inhaling. Stop
nicotine
it.
And stuff.
Ken from Wavell Heights texts through as well.
Headlights are too bright in Australia, especially those LED headlights on new cars, even at low beam. They're blinding.
Whinge,
they're meant for European conditions where they have fog quite regularly. They're not meant for Australia.
Ken. Ken, I'm going to add to that. The guys that have those big light-up bar strips, LED light bar strips.
No need.
I pass one on my way to work every day and he's got his big old bar. I'm like, mate, it's 4 o'clock in the morning.
Whinge,
If you're shooting roos, mate, turn it on.
Different. If you're driving down Bentley Redland Bay Road.
Yeah, you're not pigging.
Stop it.
Turn them off. I tell you another one. When people send you a text message that's about 400 words long, mate, give us a call, will you? I haven't got time.
Or the people that ring you, you miss their call and you call them back straight away and they don't answer.
Whinge, whinge, whinge.
What, did you ring me and then throw your phone across the other side of the room?
Idiots. Danny from Woodford, hello.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Oh, we've got
Danny,
most of it off our chest.
Don't get us started this morning.
What are you whinging about?
Oh, mate, I'm tired of these window lickers that don't know how to merge. They drive down the merge lane and instead of accelerating to 100, they slow down to 60 or 50 and stop.
What are we
going
to
do? You've got to merge at the speed you're merging into.
That's right.
Don't get on the highway at 100 kilometres an hour doing 50.
But also, Danny, you're talking about the people that are on the M1, say, and there's a merging lane coming in and they panic.
Who has to give way? The person that's merging onto the highway?
The clown's coming on, Marto. The clown's coming on. They're the ones that cause all the problems.
You reckon, all right, Danny, very worthy point. And Kate from Manly West, you've got one that drives me insane. Please share.
Oh, absolutely. When you're the only one in a drive-thru and you place your order, then all of a sudden they say, go to the waiting bay.
I hate that.
It's supposed to be fast food, not like let's wait on the side of the road food, is it,
absolutely,
Kate?
Give you another
one, Kate. When you're there and I go to a fairly busy Macca's and they've made someone go to that waiting bay, but I've got my food, I'm
and
ready
you gotta
to go.
You've got to get around them.
They've parked, you can't get around it. You've got to go up over the gate. Okay, no more whinging.
Mm.
Oh, one more.
Lucky last. Yeah, Peter from the Gold Coast texted us on the burner phone. He said, pubs that put a Palmer on top of your chips should be shut down.
Whinge, whinge, whinge.
Bloody oath.
Makes the chips go soggy.
Here's the whole plate. Use the whole thing. Right. Do you see a rugby league team not using the 22? No.
Hang on to next Wednesday, Widgie Winey Wednesday, a week from now. Triple M.
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Wow, another series of SAS about to wrap up. Well, it has wrapped up. Sam Burgess last night, we saw him. Well, three of them completed the course, but he was named the winner. But the top female, incredible at all times, and she fell ill the other night too.
Having pushed her body beyond its limits.
Yana, you can do it.
I'm done.
Yana has had enough.
Yana,
shut up! Look at me!
Stand up now.
Yana Pittman joins us. Hello, Yana. How are you?
Good, thanks, guys. How are you?
Oh, good. That was incredible to watch. I mean, your body and not just your mental limits, but your physical limits pushed to the absolute boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we got to the latter end of the course, everything was just accumulative, all the sleep deprivation and the heaps of physical activity and obviously no food for so long. It was enormous. Like, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done.
I think I saw Jet Kenny claim that he'd lost 8 kilos. How did you? Oh, you're pregnant now, but you weren't during the show, were you?
No. Okay. I'd had the baby 6 months before. I'm a bit of a baby machine. But
yes.
So I only lost probably 5 or 6, but I had a bit more to carry. So I reckon I had a bit of reserve there to rely on.
So better than those other new mums who just push the pram a lot. You actually got to do something pretty elite. What was the hardest thing you did, Yana?
Probably the day where I did pass out. I think we did the helicopter challenge in the morning. And to be honest, guys, I didn't think I was even going to make it to the bottom of the ladder. Like, I was like flailing in the water going, oh, this is embarrassing. I've done really well till now and I'm not ever going to make it to the bottom of the challenge.
I thought you would have said the hardest, most embarrassing thing was wetting yourself on live national television.
That's true, Margot. But look, you know, I'm glad they aired that because I think it was a good conversation starter for women all around Australia and, you know, worldwide to be able to have that open conversation about what happens after you have a baby, and even as we age as women, that you need to go and get help.
Oh, most,
you know, we don't have to suffer.
Yeah, most days on the show here,
I've
we talk about pelvic floors.
In the studio here, Yana. I, like you, have 4 children, and the pelvic floor isn't what it used to. And sometimes, if I sneeze or cough or laugh too hard, a little bit comes out.
Exactly.
Yana, we got to see last night you make that emotional phone call to your family. What was that like?
I think that's the thing is I miss them so much. It's a thing you underestimate. It is only 2 weeks, but it felt like a lifetime away from my little guy. So because he was so little, and you know, I guess it's worth it though. I come back now, and my little girls who are 4 and 6, you know, try to copy things, jumping off rocks in the park, and I'm mummy. Mm-hmm. So. You know, it's a pretty nice feeling to think that you might have inspired lots of young girls around Australia to believe in themselves.
A lot of abuse, and that's part of the SAS instructor's tactics.
Yelling from the DSs.
Anyone have a? Did anyone throw a punch at one of them? Did anyone? Which would be mad too. But did anyone have a go physically?
Absolutely not. Because you wouldn't want to punch someone like Foxy. You've seen the muscles on that man.
But they're so annoying.
Just want to though.
Stop yelling at me.
No, look. I think majority of us were there for the right reasons, and we wanted to experience firsthand as close as possible for a civilian person to see what SAS selection was like. And so we had a lot of respect for the DS in the fact that they've been there, they've done it, they've served their country and, as one of the hardest challenges on the planet.
Was Sam a deserving winner?
100%. Like, he was a gun from the word go. He was
tough.
He was physically the strongest. Yeah, exactly. Tough as nails. But he also allowed himself to show that vulnerability, which is what the DS wanted. They don't want a complete textbook soldier. They said, you need to be able to share with your group and your team. And he did that. He gave everything he could on every day.
You have four children and are now pregnant with twins. You have
hell.
A lot on your plate. I mean, I know that you're a doctor and, many other things, but life's not slowing down anytime soon when you add two more children to a brood of four.
Yeah, that's right, Margo. But it's more like the job. Like, don't push so fast and have to, finished in my specialty training in 3 or 4 years. Like, I just need to take a bit more pace. And as you say, at the moment, I've got a lot more to focus on than just my own personal self.
But, the trainers, did you learn anything from the way they put pressure and yelled at you that could be applicable to being a mum? Shut up! That sort of gear. Well, what an effort. You've got further than any other female. You'll be at the reunion tonight. SAS, been a great program. On again tonight at 7:30, SAS Australia, the reunion episode. Thanks, Yana.
Yeah, thanks for your support of the show, guys. It's great.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
I wouldn't mind talking quickly and thought on sport about Sam Burgess. Mm. He won SAS last night, if you didn't know.
16. Have successfully passed this course. So, well done. Number 16 passed the course.
At no stage do they say number 16's name, but he's known to us as Sam Burgess, and he's known to Russell Crowe as the sparkly-eyed man.
So Dan Ewan bowed out halfway through the last course, and then Yana Pittman about three-quarters of the way through. She was the last of the females to go. And then you were left with Sam Burgess, John Stephenson, and Mark Philippoussis.
And the SAS dudes, Ant Middleton and all
that,
they said, no, you two weren't good enough. There's only one man who offered that little last 1% of brain and brawn, and it was Sam Burgess.
16.
Number 16. Sorry to say his name.
Well, Channel 7 are copping a bit of heat for it, Marta. I don't know if you saw.
Oh, are they? Why?
Yeah, well, they're saying that the celebrities have wasted their time because Mark Philippoussis and John Stephenson also finished
the course. Yeah.
And that it wasn't fair that Sam won, and they're calling it the Sam Burgess Redemption Tour.
Not a bad. We learnt more than I needed to know about Sam Burgess during this show, about his thought he had MS one day and then he didn't have MS.
Didn't
that was
have
a whole
MS.
Episode.
And then he talked about his wife and children.
And
his
drinking and drug taking and stuff. Well, he's better now. That's the good thing, that Sam's all fixed up and we couldn't talk to him this morning. Where is he?
He's in Thailand. He's chauffeuring Russell Crowe around the beautiful country of Thailand.
How dare you? Have you called him Russell Crowe's driver? Now, if you didn't know, Russell was over there for the grand final. He was quarantining. He's out now. Sam's driving him everywhere. That is correct.
Quite literally.
But the thing is, Sam's doing more than that. He was being asked recently if he was Russell's assistant, and he says, I make his coffee in the morning. And he said, I'm more than that. Listen to this. What I would like to say, this is Sam Burgess, or number 16 speaking, what I would like to say is that I'm like this spiritual guidance on set. So he goes on set after he's driven Rusty, so he drives Rusty, parks the car, and then I'm a spiritual guidance on set, always good energy around everyone, keeping everyone on track. So that's enough. That's a job.
Sounds like Wayne Bennett.
That's right.
Isn't
Can you imagine?
Bennett's job?
You're over there filming the movie. And, Russ turns up. Yeah, Russ, who's that bloke? Who's the bloke with the English accent? Oh, it's number 16, Sam Burgess. What's he do? Oh, well, he's just here for spiritual guidance. Can you imagine? Oh, listen, mate, can you get me a coffee? Yeah, no problems. Can I get a lift somewhere? Yeah, is that spiritual guidance? So if you get in an Uber and you go, what do you do, mate? You're not just a driver. You're a spiritual guide.
Oh, that's nice. Exactly right.
Yana Pittman from SAS Australia.
Sam Burgess. May we not see him again for some time. Oh.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Marto, there's something else I want to talk about. Mission Zero. I don't profess to know anything about hydrogen or nuclear power. I know you were telling us about Twiggy the other day and his mission.
He's pumping money into it.
Yeah, he's pumping some money into it.
So he wants to make green hydrogen, export it to the world, use it for our power, and then that hydrogen will be used to make green ammonia, which is valuable in so many parts of agriculture and construction.
All of that, very interesting.
I'm
not
surprised
what I
wanted
to talk about
this. Oh, you don't.
Not what I want to talk about, though, because what they've been doing is they've been pushing it in the paper, and I think for the last 3 or 4 days...
Oh, the Courier Mail.
The Courier Mail have had a big lift out, and they're trying to teach us all about nuclear, because when I think of nuclear, I think of Chernobyl, you know, and that didn't end very well for anyone.
No.
We don't want that to happen here.
Did you see the little story that was in the paper? They're offering... There is some cheap accommodation in Chernobyl.
Well, yeah, nobody wants to stay there unless they're going to see the site. But there was a lady, and her name is Dr. Joanne Luckenby. She's the president, Marto, of the Australian Nuclear Association. She's saying more people need to understand nuclear power, and because the more that they understand it, the less they fear it. Yeah. She said, however, most Australians are getting their information on nuclear power from The Simpsons. What? This guy?
Nuclear. It's pronounced nuclear.
So Homer's Twiggy is Mr. Burns, isn't
it? Homer's been teaching people. She said it is a fantastic show. This is serious. She said it is a fantastic show. However, it's not very accurate when it comes to nuclear technology.
Really?
Oh, you think? I mean, it would be like going to maybe this guy to learn about building.
To start, press any key. Where's the any key?
Oh, exactly.
No, we're not watching Bob the Builder to figure out how to fix it, are we? Just like we probably won't go to the Wiggles for nutrition advice on fruit salad.
Fruit salad. Yummy, yummy.
That's too good.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Margo, I think I've explained to you, but well, you know, 10 weeks ago I became a renter. We just rent off my nephew's got a house down on the... Actually... Can I say where I live, there's some suburbs that have an image of them, but half the suburb can be like the half I live in is a lot of dirty renters like myself. And the
you
other
let
half
the suburb
is,
down.
Yeah. So I've got all care, no responsibility. I don't care what I say about my suburb. Hamilton.
You've gone from Newmarket.
I've gone to Newmarket to rent it at Hamilton, and it's all going well. I love the joint. It's all bloody
interesting. Well, you're close to the Hamilton Hotel. I'm sure you're very pleased.
Yes, anyway. and people, well, I don't own the house there.
You need
so
the race course
matter.
Too. You're a betting man. Love to put a little punt on the TAB.
The drunks walking down that race course road there the other afternoon. Anyway, but what I noticed, and I told you, is I seem to be the only person wandering around in thongs. Everyone wears shoes in this suburb. That's how
you
fancy
are letting
it is.
We talked about that yesterday, Marto. I'm surprised you don't have bare feet on.
Anyway, can I just tell you what's going on
what's
here?
What's going on?
I'm in the flight path. And I love the flight path. I
know
a lot
planes.
Of people.
You love watching them.
Well, there's not that many of them, and I've never been in the flight path for
there's
a
not
home.
Many.
There goes a Qantas. There goes a Virgin. There goes a Qantas.
Not many planes at the moment either, obviously, with not a lot of travel happening.
But there's some angry people around the place. In Bulimba, New Farm and Hamilton, there's a lot of people because there are... Yeah, a few planes come
well, we
over.
Lived in Camp Hill for 12 years. And
a few planes go over there.
We used to see the planes all the time. And I think one of my children's first words was plane because we used to sit out on the deck and watch the planes go over. And we'd the older kids and I would talk about, where do you think that plane's going? And they're like, that one's going to Melbourne, Mum. You know, like we'd just make it up.
Well,
and
now they got plane tracking. You can find out where they're going. It's bloody great.
We use it as a form of entertainment.
So there's some angry people. They're not happy. They've been there, and I'm a Johnny come lately. They've been there forever, and they're going, hold on, whatever. You live near the bloody airport, mate.
How long has the airport been there in Brisbane?
Well, since they discovered Kingston Smith, like
a long time.
The 50s. Yeah, Eagle
Farm. So you can't tell me that these people didn't move there not knowing that there was a flight path.
Anyway, yes, I know. But what's happened has been good news overnight because, they had the second runway, the parallel runway. They made some representations. This is Air Services Australia at that stage and said, there won't be this much. much. We'll be bringing them in over the bay and doing all this. Well, a scathing report by a federal aircraft noise watchdog, I didn't know there was such an organisation, has found the public was not told the full story about noise impacts of Brisbane's new runway. The national watchdog has found the Brisbane public wasn't told, and there's trouble.
Surprise.
There's trouble brewing. And there's a residents association, and there's a few people involved in this. There's people like this guy.
I don't sleep very much. That's about the sum of it.
Righto. And they were angry and they were slipping petitions and they've caused this action to occur.
You should see a doctor about not sleeping very much. Maybe he has sleep apnea.
No, he's got bloody planes going over the top of
his
house.
How many planes are flying after 10 o'clock at night?
He didn't say he sleeps. Maybe he sleeps during the daytime and that's the problem. Maybe
get a different job.
Well, no, I don't know whether he has a job because there's some people you just can't feel sorry for.
Vaughn says the aircraft noise is so bad, he sold his family home here in nearby Hamilton 2 months ago and is now considering selling his current residence in Ascot too.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, no. I'm so sorry you're not sleeping at night, but you've got to sell your house in Hamilton and Ascot.
Some people have got real problems.
What a poor bloke.
Triple M.
Bonza Airlines, a new airline, is getting underway early next year here in Australia.
What's a Bonza?
Well, B-O-N-Z-A. It's a real Aussie word, and that's what they're trying to appeal to. It's the low cost, low
budget.
Low budget, all economy, no bloody business class or anything, all economy airline. This guy's done it overseas. He was a pommy bloke.
Hmm.
He started over in the UK, obviously, then did Kazakhstan. Yeah, is that good advice? I don't know. The difference is they're not going to take on Virgin or Qantas. They're not going to fly out of capital cities. This is their plan.
Bonza won't be taking on the competitive Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane routes, instead talking to 45 regional cities across the country to create new point-to-point leisure routes, meaning it won't go head-to-head with Qantas, Virgin, Jetstar or Rex.
Seems like a good idea.
Our Wellcamp Airport out at Toowoomba might get a run.
That's what they say. So Toowoomba to Newcastle maybe fly, or Geraldton across to Rockhampton.
You might be able to fly into Mission Beach instead of Cairns or Townsville.
How many people a year are going to want to fly on those routes? Probably 12, so I don't know whether it'll go the same way as, do you remember Ansett? Do you remember Compass? Yeah. Do you remember Tiger?
Tiger. Yeah. Well, they got bought out by the other airlines, didn't they?
And you go, what are they flying? And this is why, I reckon this is why they got into it.
Pandemic aviation has a silver lining. Bonza bagging bargains on brand new Boeing 737 MAX 8 aircraft.
So they got cheap planes.
Mm.
Yeah, because I don't know.
Weren't they the ones that were no good?
I'm not sure. I'm not an aviation expert.
Yes.
But
yes. Okay.
Oh, were they?
Yes.
That's why their budget.
Let's not talk Bonza down. But I worry who's going to go on Bonza. Like, who is going to have a crack to have a go on Bonza? There's no one travelling yet, but early next year they're backing
themselves. Well, they're saying when they open the flights in our borders that you have to be fully vaccinated. Maybe all the unvaxxed people
can
fly budget.
It could be 20%
Bonza.
Of people.
Yeah. It's still a lot of people, 20%. It could be. Maybe they say, hey, you know what, Qantas, stick your only vaccinated flights. We're going to go only unvaccinated people can fly with us here at Bonza.
That's right.
There's a market for it. There's a gap in the market and needs filling, Marto.
Let's say there's 20% of people are unvaccinated. Let's say there's 20% of people still smoke. Why don't they run a smoking plane? Like just one plane full of everyone having a durry.
There's plenty of annoying habits. You know, like that plane etiquette we've talked about before. Yeah. There's plenty of annoying habits on flights. Maybe I'm a mother of children. I always get really anxious when I've got my kids on the plane. Are they going to sit down? Are they going to run up and down the aisles and annoy people? Mm. When you've got a baby, it cries. Maybe you could have a family's only plane.
Screaming kids flight.
Screaming kids plane. Oh, like the screaming jet. Jamie!
Oh, wow. The screaming jets. What about people go, I'm annoyed. People aren't dressed well enough for flight. Why don't we just have a fully, you have to wear a singlet. You've got to have a mullet and tats and thong to go on one a day. It's just the mullet.
The Bonza Bogan Bali plane.
Oh, my God.
You've done it.
Talk about division and segregation.
The Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo. Waking you up weekdays on Triple M.
Marto, I don't know if it was an 80s thing, but I grew up a child of the 80s, and there was always Brussels sprouts on the dinner plate. And I think it is probably still today one of the only food groups that I don't like.
I think it's incredibly high with iron,
it's
packed with iron.
Super high in
Does
iron.
Does it make you fart?
They're really good for you, but they're disgusting. Some people love them. They fry them down with a bit of onion butter and bacon and
make them taste better.
But still, I just can't get past. It's one of those things that just reminds me of traumatic experiences at the dinner table where Mum would serve up Brussels sprouts and we had to eat them and you weren't allowed to leave the dinner table.
What was your rule? No dessert until you finished your mains, everything on your plate?
Well, we didn't really do a lot of dessert. It was just to eat your dinner and that's it. Whereas, with my kids, I've adopted the policy of, well, if you don't eat it, you don't get anything else and you can go straight to bed. That's fine and you'll eat breakfast tomorrow.
You got four kids. You're not catering for everyone.
I'm not catering for everybody. It's, you get what you're given and that's it. And it was kind of that policy in our house, except we had to sit there until we finished eating it. Everybody else would get up from the table and you'd be stuck there. The only one, just with a couple of Brussels sprouts, you'd be, pushing around the plate with your fork, just hoping that they would disappear. Until one day I figured out a very clever little trick, Marta. Well, I thought it was very clever anyway.
Don't tell me your dog ate Brussels sprouts.
We didn't have a dog. I didn't have a dog to flick it off to. Yeah. And that's something that I've noticed. My youngest one, River, she's 5. She just flicks stuff onto the floor in the hope that the dog will eat it before I see it.
You got two dogs. So that's competitive hoovering. Mm. So they'll grab things that they don't even like just to stop the other dog from eating it.
But I noticed at the table we'd always have a glass of water, so I insisted that moving forward, I'd like a glass of milk with my dinner, please, because it's not see-through and you could upend the Brussels sprouts into the milk. Then when you'd clean up from the table, because that was my job, we'd always clean up, then I could just dish them down the drain and squash them into the plug hole.
It was a smuggling device. You got it from the table. That's brilliant, Margot.
And so therefore I always had a glass of milk at the dinner table with me so I could just offload any foods that I didn't want to eat.
If you die...
And I was the perfect example of a child who ate all of their dinner.
If you ever die and they say, well, she just didn't have enough Brussels sprouts, your mother will be cacking herself.
Very, very crafty. Mm. But I noticed my kids do it. They negotiate food, so they do like a exchange almost. I'd give
like
them,
meat.
They all get some broccoli and some cauliflower and sweet potato with their dinner. You know, everybody eats whatever's on their plate except Memphis and Wiley. One likes broccoli, one likes cauliflower. So they'll do a swap exchange at the table.
I'll take
all your broccoli if you take all my cauliflower. And I don't mind that because I think that's clever. I'm like, okay, well, they've thought
that's
about
brilliant.
It. They're still getting a good dose of veggies. Because, I could quite possibly just give Memphis the broccoli and Wiley the cauliflower, but
seemingly be easier.
Negotiating skills. They've got to work together as a team to figure out an end result, and they do that. But I want to know, what are some of the things that you used to do as a kid at the dinner table to hide your food? Because my girlfriend was telling me the other day, her brother used to put his rissoles in his pockets and then take them up to his room. But because they'd had gravy on the rissoles, the gravy residue would stay in the pocket. So when Mum went to check the pockets to put them in the wash, she found the gravy. She's like, what is this? And she's like, is that gravy?
Just hold
and then realised
was gravy. Was he 13 or 14? Are we sure it was gravy?
No, it was definitely gravy. He'd been smuggling his rissoles because he didn't like whatever it was that she put into
have
it.
Have you heard
they
kids
were always
doing
burnt.
It, their veggies into any indoor plants? They'll go, they'll hide them in their hand and hide them, or down the side of the lounge.
Well, sometimes, down the side of the lounge. Sometimes the kids eat up at the kitchen bench and Corey and I just sit at the dinner table so we can have a conversation some nights and the kids will flick the whatever they don't want very quickly, not thinking that we're looking into the chicken scraps.
Oh, that's good too.
Yeah, they think that's a... I'm like, I can see you, right? I'm just here. They're like, oh, no, just like, it was just a little bit. 1-3-5-3, I want to know. Dinner time tricks. Either it was you as a kid or you've seen your kids doing it, but there was always something that you didn't want to eat, like artichoke or something gross.
How do you guys go with the gherkins in Macca's? Do they eat
them? Oh, yeah, I just flick them. No, Corey eats them, so we all give Corey the gherkins.
We found 3 on the roof of Kath's car when the kids were little. They're obviously, because when do you look up?
Never.
And they've taken them off and just pinned them straight.
Eyes on the road. Yeah. Okay. 1-3-5-3.
We've got for some of our callers this morning too, Brick Lane Draft. Find at your local Dan Murphy's. Bit of a reward for your calls. 1-3-3-5-3.
Aaron from Victoria Point. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, mate. Did you have any dinner table tricks that you got up to as a kid?
Yeah, my mother used to make this turkey casserole. It was made from the wild turkeys caught out on the farm, and it was the most disgusting thing you could possibly ever believe that could be put in front of a human being.
It just doesn't sound nice, does it, Aaron? Turkey casserole.
But bush turkey.
No, it wasn't. It is. It's bush turkey. It is old and stringy and disgusting, and the taste of it was foul.
Now, a casserole, that's a whole dish. How did you get away with...
What would you do with it?
Yeah.
Well... I had two options. It's either just refuse to eat it and go to bed with nothing, which was fine on most occasions, or if I was forced to eat it, I'd jam as much of it in my mouth as I could possibly get in and then go to the toilet, spit it out and flush it away. But then my mother used to see it disappearing off the plane. She came up to me one day and she said, "Do you really like it?" And I made the foolish mistake of saying yes.
So she
piled more on.
I wonder, on birthdays, I better make Aaron's favourite turkey casserole.
Aaron just saying then that you used to go to the toilet and spit it out and flush it. That brings back memories, because I think I used to do that too with the broccoli and just get rid of it down the toilet. You think you're being really clever going, "I'm just going to go to the bathroom."
Aaron, it's lucky your mum didn't think you were anorexic and send you to a psychologist.
You'd be wondering why I was going to the toilet every 5 minutes.
How about some Brick Lane draft for you? You can find it at your local Dan Murphy's. Appreciate the call, Aaron.
Thank you.
Sarah from Caloundra. Dinner tricks as a kid, did you get up to something?
So I used to get my mashed potato and squish it up under the table and push all the peas into it.
No.
Yes.
Oh, that's disgrace. That's wonderfully disgrace.
I used to hide the peas in the mashed potato on the plate and then, like, eat them up, because I hated peas too, but used to put them in the mash thinking that would at least make it. But putting the whole mashed potato under the table and then pushing the peas, geniusness, Sarah.
Yes, it works incredibly. It's like Mum had the perfect consistency to have it squished up there just right.
You know what? You know how the teachers say, "Would you have done that at home?" Bloody
hell. Sarah, do you have any children? Have you seen them get up to any shenanigans?
We're actually on our way to school at the moment. My kids were asking, so I shared it with them. And my 11-year-old boy wanted me to ring and let you guys know.
Proud of your mum. Have we got a prize for Sarah or the kids?
Do you know what? Next time you're in town, check out the iconic Channel 7 Wheel of Brisbane at South Bank, okay?
Incredible.
Wheelofbrisbane.com.au.
We got one more on the burner phone.
There's a heap of calls we can't get to. Pat from Coomera. My mum and dad would make me sit at the dinner table until I ate the onion on my plate. Oh. One day after about a four hour. Do you remember being the last one at the dinner table? Everybody's gone off. Mum and Dad are watching The X-Files. The kids are doing homework. You're still sat there fighting over Brussels sprouts.
It would have been your Brussels sprouts.
Yeah.
So they've had a four-hour Mexican standoff. Dad ate the onion when Mum was looking so good.
We could both go to bed.
Oh, this is so cute. Sean from Alex Hills. Yes, he used to put his food in his pockets.
Peter from Agra Valley used to stick his lunch to the bottom of the table in the classroom. We might have to come back to this.
Thank you, everyone. You're so fab.
Triple M. It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show. Triple M.